Ramadan Reflections, Day 11. Women, right to encourage good and forbid evil.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2023, today being the 11th day of the blessed month of Ramadan. We've been going through, if you've been with us, we've been going through various verses of the Quran in which Allah speaks to and about women and their status within Islam. Obviously, one of the primary goals was to remove the incorrect understandings and the corruptions that had crept into humanity at the time of the beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, in the city of Mecca and the Arabian Peninsula. And then obviously these verses were meant to carry forward until today and then really until the end of time. We've been looking at various discussions as it relates to women, their creation, their various rights that God has given them in the Quran, which society had deprived them of for many years. And today we come to a topic specifically in regards to women, we can say, and we have mentioned that before, that there are certain verses where Allah speaks directly to men, sometimes directly to women, sometimes includes both the genders. And so today we want to look at the topic of women and the right to encourage the good and forbid the evil, what we refer to as al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar. Now, yesterday we looked at the topic of how Islam gave the right to women to marry whomsoever they please. And their former husbands, their brothers, their siblings had no right to interfere in this matter. Obviously, when we say we gave them, Islam gave them the right, it is within the limits of the Islamic legal code, the Sharia, which means there is not complete freedom. We are free, but not completely free. We still need to follow the rules of Allah. And obviously, as we mentioned yesterday, we reiterate the point today that you need to refer to the religious scholar that you follow for further details on the topic of marriage. What we see, however, is that the Quran brought forth a unique relationship amongst the believers. In addition to the marriage, what we looked at yesterday, Islam also brought this unique relationship, what is known as the walaya system. This comprehensive system, what I define walaya is, as a comprehensive system in which men and women are looking out for one another. They have each other's best interests in mind, and they are concerned about their spiritual, emotional, social, and religious well-being. Now, one aspect of this walaya, this authority that men have over women, and women have over men, and men have over men, and women have over women, one aspect of this walaya is to remind and encourage one another to good actions, and to help dissuade one another from performing sins and actions which are unbecoming of a believer. Now, before we go more into this topic for today, let us turn our attention to the Noble Quran, because after all, this is the month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran. And so we want to look at chapter number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 71, in which Allah speaks at length about this harmonious relationship between the believers as being awliya, and also what is the reward which Allah associates when people, men and women who are believers, can have this walaya over one another. So in verse 71, Allah says the following: the believers, both men and women, they are guardians, confidants, and helpers of one another, awliya. They enjoin and promote what is right and good, and forbid and try to prevent the evil. And they establish the prescribed prayer in conformity with its conditions, and pay the prescribed purifying alms. They obey Allah and His Messenger. They are the ones whom Allah will treat with mercy. Surely Allah is all-glorious with irresistible might, all-wise. Walaya, brothers and sisters, is a comprehensive system in which men and women are looking out for one another. They have each other's best interests in mind and are concerned about, as we said, the spiritual, emotional, social, religious, and more well-being of one another. And this is yet another unique verse in the Quran, because Allah addresses not just the mu'minun, the believers, but He singles out men and women separately. Meaning that He could have used the term just al-mu'minun, the believers, and that would include men and women both under that word, under that term. However, He uses both al-mu'minun and mu'minat. He uses both the masculine and the feminine. And their first unique trait is that they are the awliya, the protectors, guardians, of one another, not just friends, not just buddies to hang out with. No, they help each other, they assist, they guard, they protect one another in terms of their religious responsibilities. They're looking out for each other's back. Allah then goes on to enumerate 5 unique qualities which the believing men and women need to have. Now, what are they? 1 is that they have to encourage and invite one another to goodness, al-ma'ruf. They need to try and dissuade one another from bad deeds, what is known as al-munkar. 3 of men and women who are awliya, who are protectors of one another, is they establish the salah. That is, they engage in the communal, the jama'at prayers. The 4th point that God mentions is they ensure that a portion of their wealth is kept aside and given to the needy in the way of Allah through giving the zakat. So they are very well-rounded in the celestial and the terrestrial responsibilities. And 5, God says that they are committed to obedience to Allah and also to His beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. Now, when a man and a woman who are walis of one another, when they have these traits, what is the outcome? What do such men and women get? Well, the Quran says they're both entitled to a great reward, which Allah notes, firstly, as being the following, is one, they're to be covered with the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. They're to be engulfed in Allah's love and mercy. But the verse continues, and you know, the verse does go on to mention in detail the rewards from Allah. If you look further into the verse and the, you know, and into the verses that follow, you'll see that, but I don't want to mention them in this session. You can go and refer to them yourselves. But what I do want to mention as we get ready to round up is that we see yet another instance in the Quran in which, contrary to some people's opinions, that Islam has subjugated women and repressed women and removed their voice and their status in society, Allah has actually elevated their status, giving them every right and obligation to be an active part of the religious community and to engage in religious obligations like praying, like charity, like encouraging good and forbidding evil. Now, obviously, these all have to be done within the scope of the rules of Islam, the rubrics especially of hijab and Islamic modesty, both in terms of the clothing the woman wears and the man, and also the attitude and methodology by which they carry these actions out, both the men and the women. There are actually specific rules for encouraging good and forbidding evil. Now, as we conclude, you know, we see that not only do women have the right to be active in acts of worship and being there for their fellow believers to help them on the path, again, within the limits of the Islamic laws, but as we move on, we're also going to take a look at how they are to be defended when they are attacked. So it's not just that Islam saw that women could pray in congregation if they would like to. It's not that just women had economic right, because Allah talks about zakat, which means they must own their own wealth, something which in Western countries didn't happen until the mid to late 1900s. But they're also in a position to put forth the good, encourage the good and forbid the evil. And in order to do that, as we know, one of the very basic conditions of encouraging good and forbidding evil is that you yourself must know what is good and bad. You must know the ma'ruf and you must know the munkar. This means if you try to kind of extrapolate from this, that women have a right to education. What we see in some so-called countries in the world, some so-called Muslim countries, what they deemed to be the caliphate, where they prevent women from going to school and learning the religion and learning even the secular world sciences to be a productive member of society, is that the Quran is diametrically opposed to that notion that women just stay home and don't learn and don't be educated and don't have a face in society. No, Allah shows us that there are limitations that, again, women have to follow in terms of the hijab, the physical and the spiritual aspect. But when they fulfill those roles, they have every right to have an education. They have every right to go and encourage other women, especially towards goodness. Who would be better at encouraging another fellow sister to improve her hijab and then give her that encouragement, if not another woman? You don't expect a man to go and talk to women and give them, you know, guidance and teachings about the hijab and the practicality of it and how to tie a hijab properly. No, this is the job of a woman, to work with her fellow sisters to be able to encourage them and to teach them if they don't know. This means that the women have a right to be educated. So as we continue and we conclude for today, we will see as we move on that Islam has given women these rights that have been taken away from them, sometimes by secular Western societies or Eastern societies, and unfortunately by some so-called Muslims, these religious zealots, these religious extremists who have a completely incorrect understanding and reading of Islam in the Quran, have imposed their jahili version of Islam on the women of their community and society and country. So as we conclude, you know, join us tomorrow. We're going to review another topic about women specifically, as I said, that sometimes Allah talks directly to and about women and their needs in society. And tomorrow we're going to look at the right to be defended against false accusations. Join us tomorrow as we continue in our Ramadan reflections to better understand the Quran and its centrality within our lives. Until tomorrow, brothers and sisters, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.